Welcome to the AgVisor Pod.
Hi, everyone. This is Rob Sykes, CEO of AgVisor Pro, and you're listening to the AgVisor Pod. Today, we're going to be talking flea beetles and trying to determine threshold of whether to spray an insecticide or not. And we're talking to Darcy Brevere, and he's from the Peace River country, where you're going to learn where that's from. And so a really interesting conversation around whether or not we should spray or not spray, or how to assess to spray. So here's my conversation with Darcy. So Darcy, a question came in yesterday that caught my attention on AgVisor Pro. The question was, my canola has merged, is still in the clot leading stage. When it comes to flea beetles, is there a way I can figure out what percentage of feeding am I at? What is the threshold this year? Are other farmers determining their own thresholds that they feel comfortable with? The hot, dry weather has me concerned about extreme feeding. And you answered the question and you said, good question. Most people overestimate it. This is really an important thing because a lot of the seed treatment tools have been taken away from farmers. And so now we're dealing with an estimation of flea beetle damage and perhaps an insecticide spray. Why did the question attract your attention, Darcy, and why did you answer the way you did?
So the question attracted my attention because I have a lot of experience with flea beetles. It's a big problem where I'm at up in northern Alberta. It's really common. And I know that up here, there's a lot of insecticide that goes out in fields where there shouldn't necessarily be insecticide applied. So I'm the type of agronomist that likes to err on the side of not applying insecticide if you can help it, right, only because we know the issues that that leads to down the road and the dependency on insecticide that leads to down the road. So with flea beetles especially, there's a lot of growers who, as soon as they see any damage at all, are out there with their sprayers. And I just want to make sure I get that messaging out to people that it actually takes a lot, a scary amount of damage in the field to hit anything that's close to a threshold. It's canola itself is an amazing plant. It can come back from a lot of damage at that stage.
I know that as an agronomist over the years, you know, one of the hardest things that we have to do is to, recommend not spraying, because the easy answer is to spray. However, not spraying actually is the one that takes the greater kahunas. When it comes to assessing the damage, and I know on AgVisor Pro, when you answered the question, you also accompanied it with a chart. And, you know, we're just you and I are just talking here, but if you're looking at the plant, it has to be quite, and what is the threshold in terms of damage before you're starting to get concerned about making an insecticide spray?
So textbook answer is 25% damage to the cotyledons. What 25% damage actually looks like is very hard to judge because you're putting together a whole lot of pinhole shotgun holes in a cotyledon and trying to imagine those together and see how much of that plant those holes really take up. And when you picture it that way and when you explain it that way and you actually start looking at individual plants, you start to realize a lot of the time when people first call an agronomist, they're only at maybe 10% damage for a few poke holes. And if you imagine all those holes together, a quarter of that plant has to be missing. And when you think of it that way as a quarter of the plant, okay, most of the time it's okay, I'm nowhere near a quarter of the plant missing. And the other side of that is that those poke holes need to be all the way through that leaf. Oh, yeah. If those poke holes don't go all the way through the leaf material, it's not considered loss. And a lot of that is, just minor feeding that comes by and then goes, and then that plant recovers. So I know when I've been in fields with agronomists that I respect and trust over the years that have told me what 25% looks like, when I was first learning what that looks like, I would have estimated it was much higher, like 50% plus. It looks terrible in a field that has 25% damage. So, and those people were the people who kind of helped me guide what that looks like exactly.
The question came from High River, Alberta. He said that there is hot, dry weather has got him concerned about feeding. You're in that Peace River block up there, but this question goes across the continent to anybody that's growing canola and is faced with flea beetles. You're a seed grower as well, and so we've seen a lot of, I mentioned it earlier, a lot of tools taken away. How dependent are we on this whole idea of foliar insecticide? And to me, it's not the ideal situation because you always have the problem with potentially killing beneficial insects as well. So that's going into your mind as you're thinking about making the recommendations, right?
Exactly right. And we know from experience that after a general foliar insecticide is applied, the problem species, the problem insects, tend to recover their population a lot faster than beneficials. And it takes a long time to get those beneficial species back up and populations back up to something that can be regulated. So that's why broad spectrum insecticide has to be a real last case scenario. It's going to be in a scenario where you're going to lose the crop without spraying. And most of the time, I know we're losing possibilities for seed treatment insecticides, but that's usually a much more targeted approach to helping that plant come through it if you know you're going to have an insect problem. So if we know there's going to be a problem, yeah, seed treatment insecticides are primary and foliar are worst case scenario.
So Darsh, what about the idea of headland application of insecticide rather than the blanket across the whole field? What's that scenario look like? And do you give that is that part of your recommendation portfolio?
And that's really interesting. And it looks good on paper because you might hit the spots that have the worst infestation with the least amount of product applied. But depending on what insect you're going after, most of them are pretty mobile. If you're looking at, flea beetles or grasshoppers or anything that's got a lot of movement power, you're not going to end up with any long-term control with just a headland application. So in a scenario where it is to the point where I'm recommending an insecticide, it's going to be across that field most likely.
Do you have a preferential we're not necessarily pitching product here or anything, but is there some that you like to use up your way? What's your go-to?
I can't speak to any insecticides specifically. It really does depend on that grower and that area and their history. And there's not one that I would consider a go-to or even that comes first to mind. It really depends on what we're after. And then, of course, that depends on areas. I'm in northern Alberta, but then products that are available are going to be totally different, even just across the border into Saskatchewan. And they're what they have registered. So I'm really careful
That's a really good point. Again, because recommendations have to be made according to label, they have to be made according to geography and the products that are available in the area. That makes a lot of sense. So when it comes to assessing that percentage of damage, like you said, 25% of the plant has got to be gone inside of the answer that you gave on AgVisor Pro. You listed a chart. You put a chart there, and I thought it was kind of useful. And can you just comment a little bit about that resource?
Absolutely. So that resource comes straight from the Canola Council website, which is an amazing tool, and they've had some really great agronomists over the years that have had their chance to make their mark and upload their information. So, yeah, I've always been a big advocate for using their stuff, and it's always a go-to as far as charts and diagrams and just expertise in general. So big shout out to the Canola Council for that one.
Yeah, we're hoping to get some more of them onto the AgVisor Pro platform. We're using AgVisor Pro right now. You and I are connected just instantaneously. All I had to do was look your name up on AgVisor Pro and hit the call button, and we're connected with a video or audio call. You've been fairly active on AgVisor Pro the last little while. And why? What do you see here that you like?
So I was on AgVisor Pro right from the beginning. When it first came out, I came in there both as a grower and as an agronomist. And I like the idea of the instant connection. And I like the new feature of being able to throw out the question to everybody instead of having to connect somebody directly. It basically takes that side of what people are doing on Twitter right now, which is throwing out questions to the universe. And at least know you're going to reach some people with some experience and some background in that topic instead of just everybody and their dog.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that we're trying to do, it's right at the heart of our AgVisor Pro ethos, is to make sure that we're connecting people that have questions in agriculture to verified experts, whether they're company experts or agronomists like yourself. And I think the conversations are happening at a much higher level here.
Absolutely, I would agree. And I like, so far, I like the website, and I think I'm going to be on there more often.
Right on. So how are things behind you? I see you're in the field right now. How far along planting are you?
The most of the region is probably 95% done seeding, which is one of the earliest for the Peace region that we've ever seen, which is why it's been hot and dry, which is why seeding is done. But it also is why there's all this smoke behind me. You can see there's some wildfires raging in northern Alberta right now that are causing some smoke. But we're happy to see crop out of the ground. I'm currently looking at peas that are already 3 to 4 node stage, and it's amazingly early for what we've seen in the past. So look, digging up plants currently and checking for root disease and root health, and yeah.
Oh, cool. That's really cool. So you're right in the field. I'm looking at what's going on, and this is available to anybody. So for the people that are from Texas and Nebraska on AgVisor Pro, where is the Peace Country? Can you give us a quick description, and then we'll let you go.
Yeah, so the Peace Country is kind of the northern region of Alberta, up in what we consider the northern Peace region, is basically as far north as farmland goes in North America. So it's a really interesting part of the world, or typically a lot different from down there. We fight the weather and the snow in the spring, and then we fight the weather and the frost and the snow in the fall. So it's a real unique part of the world to farm in.
Yeah, there's big acres up there, and of course, long daily, because you're so far north that it, you can still read a newspaper on your 7:30 at night. So it's really cool. Hey, listen, Darcy, I want to thank you a lot for being available on the AgVisor Pod. Great thought, great comments, and you're available on AgVisor Pro. So stay safe out there, and thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Well, that was a fantastic conversation right from the field with Darcy. I want to thank him for taking time from his spring schedule to be with us. And I thought that the advice he gave was really good, in that you need to consult a professional prior to making a decision whether to spray or not spray insecticide. And that decision, of course, is made based on geography and registrations and product available. So always consult your labels. And thanks for being a part of the AgVisor Pod today. It was a great discussion about flea beetle infestation. We hope you learned something. Till next time, Rob, over and out.